Blog Talk Radio.
Beauty Shop for the Soul is a magnificent transformation to restore, cleanse, and tap into the essence of who you truly are. Beauty Shop for the Soul gives you the experience of a new makeover from inside out. Beauty Shop for the Soul was a universal gift to be birthed into the world to host Joanne Buckner. Joanne received this incredible gift through a meditation to share with others to awaken the soul. Beauty Shop for the Soul is a true magical process of the divine being you truly are. Now sit back, relax, and let Beauty Shop for the Soul take you on a new, exciting journey with host Joanne Buckner.
Beauty Shop for the Soul. Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Joanne Buckner, your host, founder of Beauty Shop for the Soul, storyteller, and a number of other things which we'll talk about from time to time. But I want to just announce here in the beginning, there have been some technical difficulties, and so it was quite a challenge for me to get through, but I'm here now, and I hope you're still there. And by being still there today, because of the technical difficulties on my end, not on the end of Blog Talk Radio, but you won't be able to be keyed in to have a dialogue today. If it arises or a comment that you would like to share or whatever it is that's coming up for you, please write it down and either call back next week with it, same number you dialed today, 646-200-4169. I'm certain these technical difficulties will be cleared up on this end before that time. I spent quite a lot of time yesterday having someone look into the issues, and obviously it didn't get resolved. So welcome to Beauty Shop for the Soul. If you've not been on before, let me just briefly say what it's about. Beauty Shop for the Soul, as was mentioned just a moment ago, is a program that was given to me in a meditation. And I understood at that time that it is a program of transformation that parallels the process when one goes to a beauty shop. And why would you go to a beauty shop? Because you want to change something about the way you look. And so you trust yourself into the hands of someone with an expertise that can change the way you physically look. Well, Beauty Shop for the Soul is, as the name implies, is a transformational process for the soul. Many of us have had injuries, perceived and misperceived, that occurred along life's path. Nowadays, the neuroscientists and the scientists are telling us that they even start at the moment of conception, not to mention the things that happen during the pregnancy. They may be physical, mental, emotional, whatever stress or strain that is affecting the pregnant mother also has some biochemical effect on the child. I wrote a paper one time called The Womb and the Tomb and the Living Room, because, of course, you can only stay so long in that little crowded space, and, of course, initially it's an ideal place for such a tiny, tiny cell. But as that cell begins this process of multiplication, division, subtraction, addition, you know, you come here quite astute. You know exactly what to do. You came here a winner. You won out over a million over cells competing for that same spot that you hold right at this moment. So you were a born swimmer, and there's just so many other things that you came here. However, what happened? That moment you take a breath on this side, things begin to shift. You no longer remember who you are, because in order to experience, express, and demonstrate the purpose for which you have chosen to arrive at this time is tucked away now, like a hologram in the tissues and cells of your body. And you begin this challenge with the ideal parents, as Edgar Casey once said, Edgar Casey being a foremost psychic considered by many during the 20th century. He said that our parents are the experts in the lessons that we came to learn in this lifetime. And so when you think about your relationship with your parents and the impact of that relationship or those relationships, not just your parents, your teachers, the culture you lived in, the neighborhood you grew up in, or the neighborhood. Someone told me just a few days ago that by the time they were out of elementary school, they had been in 10 different schools. And it was psychologically alarming for this person who is still working on clearing some of the energy that has been carried around like baggage. Beauty shop for the soul is where you get to unload your baggage. But you get to do it yourself. Not like in the traditional beauty shop where someone else assesses your hair and your scalp and gives you the findings and a recommendation. For example, maybe you have dry scalp. Well, they have just the thing to treat that to bring it back in condition. Perhaps you have split ends. Well, all of these things are symbolic of the issues of life. These things actually happen to us in real time. You know, dry sense of humor, a house divided against itself, your head wants one thing, the heart another, and often we allow the head to rule over the heart. But, you know, in the part of your heart with all diligence, for out of it come the issues of life. And I wrote a poem once called Heart Art. There's an art to listening with the heart. I won't repeat it now, but we'll get back to it at another time. Just know that the senses can be distorted, which you already probably know at this time. I just recently had an experience. I pulled in, and I've had it many times before, where I pulled into a parking spot. It wasn't parallel. It was just straight ahead, and the cars are side by side versus in front or back of you. And just as I pulled into this spot, the car to my left precisely was backing out as I stopped. And I had that little swaying feeling as though I were moving. I was moving. Have you ever had that happen? Well, all that does is let you know, excuse me, it confirms that the senses can be distorted. All of them. I've gone to Disneyland and stood in a room on flat ground and watched the movie in the round where an airplane was moving from the East Coast to the West Coast, and at some point about halfway across the U.S., as you're standing there watching the movie, you began to feel the sway that you would feel when you're on an airplane and are about to encounter some turbulence. And so you find yourself, as I found myself and as I noticed others, holding on to the railing, and they have the railing there, just all of them. And so at some point, I've talked about it before, and we'll talk about it again, all of the senses, you have the external sense, but then you have something much deeper in sight, sound, taste, touch, and smell. You've probably used the expression or heard of, something smells like a rat in here. Well, of course, it generally isn't a rat, I don't think. But it means that something doesn't feel right. And so the nose, the nostrils are an instrument for discerning. Pay attention to the feelings that you have, what you hear, what you say, what you see, what you taste, and what you touch. And, of course, that sense of touch is from head to toe. Something happens, and you feel a warm flash or a cool something, or there are many other things. There's no one way, and it won't even be the same for each person every time. It'll be different. But the senses, the inner sense, the inner eye, that's what we learn to cultivate. It will guide us through all the issues of life. And so as you think about your life and think about the misperceptions that you've had, write it down and call back next week so that we can explore this. In Beauty Shop for the Soul, the the client decide based upon the garden of their own life as they observe how beautifully grown it is or how heavily weeded, or perhaps maybe just time a season for a different change. You know, there are some plants that will not grow in specific seasons. So maybe in that season of your life, it's time to uproot the plants that are there and then plant the thing that maybe what was there was not even something that you wanted. The seeds were sown, and you took it and ran with it. It was perhaps the thing your parents dreamed that you would do, but it didn't resonate in your heart, and so it caused some disease. And, of course, whenever we're emulating anyone else, the best that we can ever be is a good imitation. But you were born you were born an original, and you don't have to die a copy. You can explore your own magnificence. This is what we encourage with Beauty Shop for the Soul. All of the issues of life that come up that may seem like a stormy situation, you can learn, like the eagle, to transcend that. It's not always about fight or flight. Back in the days when they had the saber-toothed tiger, that was the case. But the saber-toothed tiger now may be disparity in treatment on your job. It may be even your perception in your family. If you came from a big family like I did, with six boys and three girls, there was always something going on. And generally, the last three boys, they were like three musketeers. And so from time to time, they did things that they knew were against the rules of the house. But, of course, they would never, ever squeal on each other. And my mother had this habit of, if she didn't know and no one admitted that they were guilty of what had been done, then we all received the punishment. It was like being in a boot camp. And so there are issues that arise from these experiences, not intended, but with a house of nine children, surely I understood that my mother wanted some kind of discipline, order, respect, and immediate responses to whatever the issue was at hand, trained in that way. The thing is that we were all trained the same way, but guess what? We weren't the same. How were you trained in your family? And how is that showing up in your life now? I want to just talk for a minute. I remember getting a call from a relative years ago, and it was about a young relative. This was a college student that called, and he was concerned that the mother of an 8-year-old child, who was actually quite precocious. However, for whatever reason, and I never got the reason, but his mom often called him stupid, even though this child was a third grader and doing okay and doing well in school and even better outside of school. She refused flatly to let him walk 3 or 4 blocks to the store, a neighborhood store. And, of course, what she said to this 8-year-old was that he was too stupid to cross the street. And she was afraid that he might get hit by a car. So, subsequently or consequently in this case, he wasn't permitted to walk to the store. And so the older relative called on his behalf. Well, when we, if you did not physically bathe your body on a regular basis, what would happen? You wouldn't have many people wanting to hover around you. No, you wouldn't. None of us would. So you bathe regularly. You practice hygiene. But what about spiritual hygiene? What about how often do you feed your soul, as in Beauty Shop for the Soul? The soul needs to be nurtured, because when things are said or done to us that cause us pain, even if it weren't intended, it leaves a wound. Sometimes that wound is there long after the incident is consciously forgotten, but it's buried alive and kicking. And there it shows up from time to time without the ability of the one who carries it around to know, understand, and relate it to the issues of life because of the negative programming. You know, I remember a time when I was so eager to start in school. That was four children older than I were already in school, and I wanted to be a big girl like they were, a big girl and big boys, and I was really looking forward to going to school. At that time, there was no kindergarten. There was the first grade only, and so we started, and the very first day of school, the first grade teacher gave us a very stern lecture, and she said, you have 1 week to get playing out of your system. During that week, you can walk around the room. You can talk to your classmates. You may go to the bathroom without raising your hand. There were just a number of things that she stipulated. But she made it really clear that the next week, which is the second week of school for all these five and children, mostly six, and a few who were seven, the very first day of the second week of school, a new child appeared. And it just so happened that she was seated in front of my seat. And when the teacher, she was a bit late arriving, so everyone else was already seated, and she was placed in this one empty chair. And as she sat down, I don't know what the chairs were like when you started school, but when I started, they had the like wooden slats across the back of the back of the chair, so that it was not one solid piece children had on. You could see very well. And so when this little girl sat down, unbeknownst to her, her dress was up in the back. Well, I do come from a big family, but I only had one sister at the time. The youngest one hadn't been born. And the sister older than I was 8 years older, so I was not used to other little girls outside of home. And when this child sat down, her dress was up in the air, and I could see her undies, her panties, that is. And for some reason, it tickled my five-year-old heart, and I began to laugh. And the teacher gave me a stern look, but I continued laughing. She told me to stop laughing, but I couldn't stop. I was just tickled. I had never seen that before. And after about three times when I continued laughing, the teacher came and told me to follow her to the cloakroom. I'm from Indiana, and in Indiana, it gets very cold in the winter. They have a cloakroom for you to hang up your, they didn't have book bags in those days, but your coat went in the cloakroom, they called it. And she took a ruler from her drawer. And after we were in the cloakroom, she had me open my hand. She held my fingers and then struck me across the palm of my hand. I don't know how many times. It seemed like 100. It probably was 3 or 4. I really don't know. But what I know was that I was devastated. And I really didn't understand that kind of punishment. And so after she had disciplined me, what she felt was enough, she released me to go back to the classroom. Now I'm also embarrassed. I'm physically, I'm emotionally upset, and now I'm embarrassed. The whole class knows what's going on in that cloakroom. No one says a thing to me. And so I set my seat. And I cried, and I cried, and I just cried the whole day. I couldn't stop, just like I couldn't stop laughing. I couldn't stop crying now. This was my second week of school. 6 days I had to grow up to not laugh anymore, to not play anymore, to not talk with my neighbors. I carried that memory. Well, I guess I still have it. I'm talking about it, but I've actually done a lot of healing on it. The whole idea is for children to understand their own magnificence. There's that thing on the inside of all of us that's greater than anyone and anything on the outside of us. And when we tune in and tap into that through the guidance of those who know and understand, we won't be thrown. We won't be moved by these kinds of things. I'm sure the teacher meant well. She probably herself had been raised or reared, as my English teacher later would say, you raise cattle, you rear children. So she probably had been reared in a very strict, disciplined home. But what did I know about that when I was 5 years old? Nothing. not one thing. But we have a chance in this day and age to program our children in a way that will sustain their well-being. So I found a poem, and in fact, the person that wrote the poem, their name is Mildred, and that happened to have been my mother's name as well. I want you to listen to this poem. It's called The Negative Thought. A negative thought came to my mind. He wore a charming smile, and I was sorely tempted to invite him in a while, and I hesitated. He tapped softly on the door and whispered through the keyhole as he'd, "I'll help you hold your grudge. I'll help you sing the blues. It seems like all your folks and friends have turned their backs on you." He said, "You've been misunderstood, mistreated, and maligned. I'll help you cry your heart out if you'll let me come inside." But I kept my windows fastened and my doors securely closed, for I knew that I'd be the loser if I let him take control. For negative thoughts can multiply and crowd the positive out and make the mind a cesspool of anxiety and doubt. And so I told the negative thought I could not, would not let him in. He went his way, but I am sure that he'll return again. But no more will I greet him with a welcome or a smile, and never will I entertain him even for a little while. I'll fill my mind with positive thoughts and on the door install the sign which reads, "Do not disturb when negative comes to call." For though he knocks 1,000 times and yet 1,000 more, he cannot dominate my mind if I will not open the door. And that's by Mildred. Bless you, Mildred, whoever you are and wherever you are. I have no idea where I got this poem, but it was in my in my reading. I enjoyed reading it. Ernest Holmes, the founder of religious science, wrote a book called Thought or Thing. Take that in for a moment. Thought or Thing. How could that be? Well, thoughts can become the little knot. You know, when you're a little kid and someone affects you, offends you, and, well, probably not anyone who's listening, but you know others, especially little boys, would pick up a rock and throw it at the offender. But in the culture that we grew up in, you know, you stop throwing rocks at a certain age. You stop physically throwing rocks. So you don't pick them up and throw them at the offender, but what do? You pick them up anyway. You just put them on the inside of you. And later on in life, they're called things like gallstones, kidney stones, all of the hardening of the arteries and all of the other things. Thoughts become congealed and show up in the tissues and cells of your body, often as issues in your tissues. So if you have issues in your tissues, call 646-200-4169 and let's explore that with Beauty Shop for the Soul. You get to make an assessment yourself, as I was saying earlier. You may have a beautiful garden already. I don't doubt that. But in the context of infinity, there's so much more beauty available. It's like traveling around the world and seeing all these gorgeous gardens all over. I used to live in the Bay Area. And on my way home from work, I worked in the city, which is to say San Francisco, but I lived in the East Bay. And when I would return to the East Bay, I would, before going home many evenings, go by the Rose Garden. It was simply spectacularly beautiful. And the fragrance, oh, my God, it was, I'm hesitating because I don't quite know how to describe the fragrance of the roses. They were all colors, red, white, yellow, purple, various shades of different colors, and they had different names, and there were plaques there. And so I would go in and literally sniff the rose. It was so spiritually intoxicating. Imagine that. And then one day, as I was in the rose garden, I saw that the groundskeepers were pruning the roses. And I knew this was a process that took place, but I suppose I wasn't used to seeing it because they were tossing these beautiful, beautiful roses into a huge trash barrel. I couldn't believe it. Tossing roses that cost a fortune in the store when they looked like those roses did, or in a flower shop. And so I inquired if I could take them, and they said yes. So you know what happened from that day on. I now had two reasons to stop in the rose garden. One was to observe, admire, and take in the beauty of the garden. They had a wedding. It wasn't a chapel. It was an outdoor area for weddings. But I made it a point to go back more frequently and to try to time it so that I could get the roses. And what would you think that I did? A while ago I mentioned feeding, the nurturing, the nourishing of the soul. You know, if you did not physically eat for 10 days, you'd be so weak, you wouldn't probably, you know, your legs would wobble a bit. And then if you add 10 more days and 10 more days, the condition becomes compounded. Well, what about your soul? How often do you nurture your soul? Do you even have an idea of what makes your soul feel good? Well, one of the things is to have what is considered to be a spiritual bath. And roses are so extraordinarily wonderful to do that. I don't think I've ever shared this before on the Beauty Shop for the Soul, but this is an ideal place. Even if you bought a dozen roses, and it depends on what kind you buy, you can get them at the local supermarket for probably $12 or $15, and it's well worth that. You are worth so much more than $12 to $15, but what you do is that, you know, spiritual cleansing is not to physically clean your body. It is to make your soul relax. Imagine, just take a deep breath and imagine yourself in the rose garden after a challenging day at work, or perhaps at home with the children, or maybe in a domestic situation where you just need to breathe some fresh air, not blaming anyone for anything. This is just life, life. And so what do you do with the roses? Let me tell you. First, of course, it's imperative that you shower first. And after you shower, if your shower is in the same, if it's over the tub, then you would need to clean the tub because, doctors discovered some years ago that often women get vaginitis from sitting in their own bath water. There's so much dust and chemical stuff in the air, and we take it in onto the body. So you want to be sure that your body is actually clean before you set in the tub. You will need a container of milk and the roses. Now, you do not, listen, do not put the roses in the water with the thorns. You know where they may end up. That would not be too good. No. So what you do is that you clip the roses just beneath the petals so that there are no thorns, of course. And as the tub, the clean deal with water to your, you want it warm, but not hot to the point that it's not comfortable. This is a relaxing opportunity for you to sit back, lie back, and submerge yourself in a warm tub of milk water with roses. First of all, it's so aesthetically beautiful. So you lie there until the water cools off for at least 15 minutes. Be sure that you are submerged in the water so that it comes at least to your neck. And I tend to sort of flip around in the tub. And so when I first get in, I also make sure that I have my face in the water for a short time. This is a time to put on wonderful, soothing, meditative music. Light a candle. In other words, you're creating an environment, an atmosphere. And nowadays we know that atmosphere, according to science again, is more impacting than hereditary things you inherit. Can you imagine? They have done research where they take the cells from the same origin and put them in separate petri dishes and then put them in different environments and then observe what happens. So when you're doing something, there should be a time, and I shouldn't say should, because back in the years of counseling, they used to say, don't should all over yourself. So you could, not should, you could, as you are in this water, you will lie there and relax and allow your soul to feel soothed by the music, by the candlelight, by the beauty of the water. You know your body is 75% water anyway, and so is the brain. And so they tell us every cell in our body is 75% water. So we are pretty much fluid. And every single cell in your body has a specific purpose. So we are facilitating the process of the body being able to be restored in the day and age in which we live. Not only the saber-toothed tiger doesn't roar anymore, not like in the days of antiquity, but it roars in the voices of others who are busy living lives of quiet desperation. It roars when we have too much responsibility. It roars when we have domestic issues. It roars when we think that we are nobody. It roars when you have an accident. There's so many, however, you can change that roar. There's a wonderful song out now that you can find on YouTube, and the name of it is Roar. You're going to hear me roar. I want to hear you roar. So if you're not roaring already, then consider what would it feel like for you. You know, feelings come from our thoughts, and from our thoughts we take action. So if we are feeding ourselves thoughts that are incongruent with the truth of who you are, and often we've been told these things. We grow up thinking we are too fat, too thin, too tall, too short, too dark, too light. My goodness, not enough education, not enough talent, not enough, not enough, not enough. When in fact, you are more than enough. You are absolutely more than enough. Louise Hay, who is the owner and founder of Hay House, who herself had fourth stage of cancer many, many, many years ago. But at age 5, Louise Hay had been raped. And then she was molested for many years of her life, from age 5 until, I think, in her teens. But she had a revelation that the thing that was eating her that showed up like cancer was actually all of the injuries to her soul that had occurred as a young child, that unbeknownst to her, consciously, she had carried this like baggage. You know, they charge you for baggage on the plane and nowadays even on the bus for excess baggage. Well, life charges you for carrying excess baggage. You know, the kids often say when they misstep or make a mistake, that's my bag. Well, sometimes we pick up a bag and it's not even ours. Often it's not our bag that we are carrying with us. And if it's not your bag, set it down. And what if it is your bag? Set it down. Don't have to carry it. You're here to grow and unfold. and all growth is about releasing and letting go of what no longer serves you. You know, like that five-year-old child that Louise Hay was and many other people as well. It was pretty much impossible to defend yourself under bizarre circumstances such as some have found themselves in. But as we move through life, we began to discover. In fact, I was amazed at my discovery of something more than just feeling good about a sacred text or just feeling good about music that was soul stirring. And all that's good, but it wasn't sufficient. It wasn't sufficient because it didn't tell me what to do under challenging circumstances. How do you don't worry, which is often what people say, don't worry. At least that's what they used to say, except for that song, Don't Worry, Be Happy. So how do you don't worry? If you don't have a formula or a recipe, then worry. And what happens when you worry? When you worry, there is something that happens. And so, you know, there's communication going on in these trillions of cells in your body. Bruce Lipton and Candace Pert and many other scientists have done a lot on this nowadays. Brad Nelson has something called the body code and the emotion code. Because the moment we feel traumatized, even if it weren't intended, immediately a signal goes through the body that says, it's not safe in here. It's not, and so if it's not safe, what, you have to leave. That's the fight or flight that occurred in the days of the saber-toothed tiger. So now when that signal goes out that it's not safe, all of the blood that was flowing to your heart, all of the oxygen that was flowing to your brain is now redirected. It's redirected because if you're eaten by a saber-toothed tiger, you don't need to be creative. You don't need to be resourceful. So it's about survival. And early on, it was thought that the only way that you could survive was through fight or flight. But there are other options. As we evolved in consciousness, these other options began to surface in our consciousness, and we know now that we can transcend whatever the circumstances are because the energy and essence from which we were created that resides in us, and every muscle, tissue, fiber, cell, every atom and imp of your being, there's a coding, DNA. You know, biologically, the DNA allows you to trace your ancestry back through the generation DNA that I'm talking about. I'm talking about your divine natural ability. And in this divine natural ability, that's when you know who you are and whose you are. You recognize that you are made in the image and likeness of love, from love to be love, because the creator of all things was and is omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, and omniactive. And what are some of the aspects of the Creator? Love, unconditional love, not conditional like we do, unconditional. So if it's unconditional, there's nothing you could ever do to change this infinite and eternal love for you that is in you, and your job is to release it. To release anything and everything that has blocked, hindered, or delayed the potential for you to release love, to be the place where love shows up on the planet, starting with yourself first. This is what we're here to learn and then to teach the children, how to love unconditionally ourselves and others. And so, by the way, if you came on late or you're listening to this recording at another time, No one is able to dial in because of a technical, I mean, you could dial in to Blog Talk Radio, but you could not communicate with me. I'm Joanne, founder of Beauty Shop for the Soul. So if you find that you have a comment, a sentiment, something you'd like to say or to ask or to be made known or made clear, write it down. You know you won't remember after 2 or 3 days. Write it down. Write it down and then call me back next Sunday. Dial the same number, 646-200-4169, and call your friends and have them join in the dialogue, in the conversation with us on Beauty Shop for the Soul. It's every Sunday, 5 to 6 p.m., the same time. And so as you're writing, I want you to consider an aspect of your childhood. What is it, that wonderful lesson that you learned from being a child? We all have these lessons that we've learned. We may not realize it at the time that we are children, but we do learn sooner or later. What kind of experiences that have you had? I'm going to let you think about that for just a quick minute. And as you think about it and make a note about it, I'm looking forward to hearing from you next week as you share the story about the lesson that you learned. And maybe you learned it and applied it, but if you didn't apply it, you didn't learn it. So, you know, communication is so important. And we are constantly communicating with our bodies. Remember as a little child what kind of imagination you had? And you had such fun sharing your imagination with your parents and family and friends. And what happened? They were so happy that you were so creative and that you'd like to tell stories, as they called them, and they would repeat your stories to their friends. And then, as you got closer to the age and stage of starting in school, suddenly it was not so good anymore. Just like my first grade teacher said, you're through with that stage now. So it was no longer, you were no longer encouraged to share your imagination. You were no longer encouraged to be resourceful as you had been from the moment you began talking and walking until that time when you're now going to learn to socialize in the culture in which you live. And so these instructions are often even given without a smile, which brings me to another reading I want to share. It's called The Value of a Smile. And so as I begin to do this, I invite you to close your eyes and take a deep breath and then slowly exhale and breathe in again, taking that oxygen back to the heart and taking the blood back to the heart and the oxygen to your brain and to all the tissues and cells and organs of your body. Divine restoration occurs every time we breathe in. And you know that when you smile, it releases endorphins into the bloodstream. And those endorphins strengthen your immune system. We can't live very long without an immune system. So make it a practice every day to just smile. When you get up in the morning, look in the mirror and smile at the face that looks back at you, this wonderful, beautiful, once-in-a-lifetime face, the only one pretty much you'll ever have, and how blessed you are to have it. And so the value of a smile, it enriches those who receive it without impoverishing those who give it. It happens in a flash. And the memory of it sometimes lasts forever. It cannot be begged, borrowed, or stolen. But it is of no earthly good to anyone until it is given away. So, if in your hurry you run across someone too weary to smile, leave him one of yours. Smile as much as he who has none to give. And I know that you're not the one who has none. You're the one to give. So smile. And remember, hospitality begins at home. And so the first smile should go to yourself. Look in that mirror. Not right now, unless you have it in front of you. But as soon as this call is over, which is going to be pretty quickly over, then I invite you, I remind you, go to the mirror and smile. You know that they say that children, this is about laughter, which is even more energetically therapeutic than a smile, but a smile is wonderful. I was in a place to make copies yesterday, and the person that was taking care of the service that I wanted, she's a very attractive young lady, but I almost never, ever see her smile. And I made a comment yesterday in reference to her smiling. And she, without smiling, let me know that she had nothing to smile about, that she had a lot of work to do. She works, she's a full-time student and a full-time employee. And I thought about years ago, I too was a full-time student, but I smiled and laughed a lot, despite my first grade teacher, who punished me for smiling at 5 years, for laughing at 5 years old. So I came from a laughing family. Every issue was a laughing matter. And I think back many times on the way in the house that we grew up in. If there had not been the laughter, I have no clue how we each might have turned out under the kind of strict guidance that we were that we had to submit to. There is value in a smile. There's value in a laughter. There's a healing power. And so the doctors or the scientists say children laugh 400 times a day, and adults only laugh about 40 times. And then there are those who actually do laughing therapy. There are organizations, not just nationally, but internationally, where people go and laugh. One of the things that you may do that is healing to your soul is to just laugh. When you're in the car and traffic is buzzing around you, instead of becoming tense and upset, begin to consciously laugh. I'm told that the same effect will occur if you'll laugh. And I used to teach a class called Learning to Be at Home in Your Body. And in this class, we would do voice vibration, but we would also do laughter. And we would start out with just the ha, 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 ha. And then the ha, ha got to be ha, ha, ha. And then more progressively so, till pretty quickly everybody there was laughing. And these were seniors. All of them were seniors. The youngest people in the group, there were some people in their 50s, some in their 60s, some in the 70s, and some in their 80s. And we did so many wonderful things that allowed the little child that is in us to enjoy being with us. We all still have the inner child. And as that African proverb says, it takes an entire village to raise a child. So what are you doing to nurture the child that is in you and any child that you might have under your jurisdiction, whether it be your child, your grandchild, your great-grandchild, your neighbor, your friend? We're all parents to somebody. I'm a returned Peace Corps volunteer. I happen to have lived in West Africa and taught school there for a couple of years. And in the cultures that I observed there, I became friends with several people that had lived in villages, and some of them did not actually even know who their biological mother was, not that the mother was absent, but because all of the women, the children, Imagine that, having so many mothers that would nurture you. Now, of course, sometimes it didn't always turn out that way. Maybe some of the women were not that way, but by and large, all of the women were, and the people that I'm speaking of specifically had that kind of experience. So your assignment this week is just to laugh. Laugh, laugh, laugh. First thing in the morning, just like the Muslim people pray five times a day, laugh five times a day and heal, as the scripture says, physician, heal thyself. You can heal yourself by laughing, as did Dr. Bernie Siegel, who had a life-threatening condition, himself out of the hospital, and then rented a hotel room and rented movies. He happened to have liked the humor of Groucho Marx and the Marx Brothers and some others. But he spent days just laughing and laughing and laughing. And so can you. Whether or not you decide to join an organization, you can initiate the laughter, hence the healing process. You can find funny stories. Nowadays, even on the web, on the computer, you can Google stories about most, or just laughter, and allow yourself to heal yourself. One of the little quick stories that I read as I was looking through some of my old stories was about a little child who was just learning to read. And this child then walked up to his parents and says, "Now that I'm learning to read, I have some questions about all that stuff you've been spelling out." Can you imagine? This child now recognizes what's being spelled. Well, I remember, and I'm going to close with this story. My youngest sister was born when I was 11. My mother used to spell things as well when she did. So what did my little sister do? She didn't yet know how to spell, but she didn't know that she didn't know. And so when my mother would send me to the store, my little sister would say, "Joe, bring me something." And when I would ask her what it was, she'd say something like, "EKYZRU." And so then it became my responsibility to try to guess what she wanted. And if I didn't guess it right, she'd become upset because she thought she was spelling as well as my mother. With that, I will say, have a wonderful, blessed, happy, fun-filled, smiling week, day by day by day. You know, there's another proverb that says, life is hard by the yard, but by the inch, it's a cinch. So just inch your way along to health, wholeness, infinite, abundant prosperity. Everything you could ever want is all on the inside of you. Enjoy who you are and whose you are. Call me next week. Bring your notes with the questions that you want to ask. I'll be looking forward to hearing from you then. Take care. Love you. Bye-bye.